Blog Talk Radio.
Evidence doesn't lie that we certainly do need some devotion. And you come to the right place, I suspect, to get it. place where we teach about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the Almighty, Elohim, Yah. And to give you a bird's eye perspective of him and how your interaction should be with him and all with one another and all with strangers, different nations. But before we get started in our studies, Cartrell and I, you know, I like to make comments about contemporary subject matters. In Brooklyn Center in Minnesota, seems like things are getting quite out of hand. They said, the police chief resigned. They said the woman, 26-year veteran of the police department, resigned. I have my doubts about that. Unless you resigned under pressure, it's a different name for it, fine. And also, I'm concerned about the people because people, they let their emotion get the best of them. They don't control their anger, and we study about that. How you let your anger and emotion get the best of you. And you're out of control. You have no self-control. When you have no self-control, it's like controlling a city when you have no self-control. And people putting themselves in dire straits and perhaps may get themselves hurt. In Brooklyn Center, I'm concerned about our brothers and sisters there. And I'm concerned about different nations there also, putting themselves in dire straits. And for the most part, there's nothing Brooklyn Center can do at this juncture. They've done all they can do for now. And I suggest to them, let your common sense get take control of the situation. There's no need to push the issue any further until you wait on the conclusion of the outcome of the police officer. You know, making matters worse for yourself doesn't solve a problem. How are you going to shoot yourself in the foot and say, oh, that's going to solve all my problems. I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. So for all intents and purposes, we studied about anger and let anger get the best of you. It doesn't work in your best interest. So for now, I suggest that everybody lay low, stay out of the way. And see what the Attorney General would do about this situation in regards to the police officer. If you think, now I'm not into protesting and marching. Let's just put that for the record. You'll never see Yom Suf out there throwing rocks and bottles or even marching with signs. I'm not into that. But if you're into that sort of thing, sit back, lay low, stay out the way and see what would develop. Don't continue throwing gasoline on a fire. Get out of control real quick. But as we can see, they're not paying attention to common sense nowadays. They're right back in the starting blocks again tonight, ready to ramp up the amp. And also, I've been studying the trial of Brother Floyd. You know, y'all didn't know he was born on the same day I was born, October 14th, yeah. I am George Floyd. I'm the George Floyds of all of us, universally speaking. And you should be the George Floyds of all of us, universally speaking, Sandra Bland's and so on and so forth, truth be told. And I saw that so-called expert witness for the defense. What do I think about that expert witness? An expert fool. That's what I think about the expert witness, an expert fool. Need I say any more? And I saw the sister who used to go with Brother Floyd. I didn't get much out of her. And a few more other witnesses. I didn't get much from them either. But that expert witness was certainly an expert now fool, now wasn't he? Well, let's say no more about that subject matter, unless Cartrell has any commentary on it. I'm going to bring it right on. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Shalom, and your mic is hot. In your family, brother. In your family.
Appreciate that. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
I'm appreciative, brother. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm watching that trial, too.
Yeah.
And the defense witness sounded like he was more of a witness for prosecutors. They really flipped him. I mean, you could feel the hatred and the racism coming out this man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you saw it.
I thought I was the only one, country. Yeah.
We justifying something that can't be justified.
Right.
And he's trying to say that they was in the right position. No, it was not. The crowd wasn't a factor. And the fact that three men are on top of a man's back when he's in a prone position, handcuffed, and he's asking you to breathe, and your first responders, and y'all don't put him in the recovery position, you're liable for that. I'm a first responder, and I know that you have to put a person in a recovery position immediately, as soon as possible, as soon as you get that respiration. You know that they're breathing, and you know that they have a pulse. So, I mean, he tried to defend this guy. I thought the lawyer was bad trying to defend the guy, but this guy today.
Gotcha. You sure know what to say, because this brother, dude, this fella, I thought, I said, Yom Suf, he's seen things. No, emanating from that fella was pure D hatred of us. Cadreal was right. I assisted too, Cadreal.
My wife is looking at him. She's like, look at his face. It's turning red. I didn't really notice it, but I felt his spirit.
Right. It wasn't good. It wasn't good, Cadreal.
But, damn, Minnesota. Why is all this stuff going on in Minnesota?
They cutting up there. They cutting up in Minnesota, Cadreal.
Now, I know you got training with guns, right?
Exactly.
Doesn't every gun have a safety on it? And don't you have to release the safety in order to shoot it?
You definitely do.
So my question is, did the police officer have to release the safety on her gun in order to shoot that brother?
You had to.
So can you not know that it was a gun, which is different from a taser? Because you ain't got to put no, there's no safety trigger on a taser, right?
Nope. Mm-mm. Not, well, I really can't say because I've never used a taser, Cartrell. Like the police. Yeah, but it was standing the reason that it wouldn't have a safety like that, similar to, so an officer wouldn't get confused. But then again, if I've been on the force 26 years, I think I ought to know where my taser at, Cartrell. Okay?
And you damn sure know what that gun feel like, too.
It's a whole lot heavier, Cartrell. Okay?
Come on, man.
And it the gun is not even yellow.
What a weak excuse. She made a mistake. She thought she was shooting a taser.
Yeah, but okay, you sure knew you made a mistake the moment you shot that bullet out, didn't you? Oh, I made a mistake. Accident. Let's do a do-over.
Well, my question is, do you put a taser in somebody's chest, or do you put it in their arm or their leg or something?
I don't, Cartrell, I wouldn't, like I said, I never fired one, so I really couldn't say on the subject matter a taser.
From my thinking, a taser is an electric bite. It almost like shocks you, right?
Right.
So I don't think they would shoot it right at your chest where your heart is pumping because it might stop your heart. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Yeah. Hold on, Cartrell. We don't like
I
to
wouldn't think
us.
That let they me would tase you in your chest.
Okay, hold on.
That's where the bullet hit him. It was shut.
When you fire a taser, what do you aim the taser? Okay. Did not see guidelines. Okay, hold on. Let's go back. Taser guidelines. Okay. Taser guidelines. Let's see what it says. Right quickie. Yeah, let me see. This is that they set the purpose and scope. Policies. Personnel who complete the permit. All tasers should be clear. Okay, all tasers shall be clearly and distinctly marked to differentiate them from the duty service weapon.
Okay.
Any device, right.
That's why it's yellow.
Okay. And that's verbal warnings. But this is in the method police, the use of a taser. Okay. Being confronted. Proxy of the weapon, degree which the subject has been affected, time and circumstances, risk of escape, other intended factors, the age, size, and relative restraint. But I don't see where there's a particular page. Is there something, Cartier, we're going to look into?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I ain't an expert, but.
Yeah. We're that.
They should know the difference between a gun and a taser. That's what it says in the beginning, first thing.
Yeah. Certainly should, Cartrell. Certainly should. Okay, Cartrell, fellow students, let's get busy trying to get some devotion because, as I said, we certainly need it, given the set of circumstances and the evidence plus Minnesota University speaking, we need it. Okay. Turn to chapter 13, if you will, 1 Samuel. May the Most High bless us by the reading, studying, and most importantly, the application of his word in our lives. Okay. Chapter 13. And mine says King Saul was blank. Did it is left after a number of years. Now, do yours say, Cartier, how old King Saul was when he became king?
No. It says mine, King Saul reigned 1 year.
Okay. But it didn't say how old he was when he became king. And he reigned Israel 2 years. Well, mine said. King Saul picked 3,000 Israelites, of whom 2,000 were with King Saul in Mizpah, in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the troops he sent back to their homes. Jonathan, King Saul's son, struck down the Philistine perfect governor. I told you they were under the governor control of the Philistines in Gibeah. And the Philistines heard about it. King Saul had the ram's horn sounded throughout the land. Let the Hebrews hear. When Israel heard that King Saul had struck down the Philistine perfect, but it wasn't King Saul, it was Jonathan. And that Israel had incurred the wrath of the Philistines, all the people rallied to King Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines in turn gathered to attack Israel. They had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and troops as numerous as the sands of the seashore. They marched up and encamped at Mizpah, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble because of the numbers of that army, for the troops were hard-pressed, the people hid in caves among thorns, among rocks, and tunnels, and cisterns. They hid anywhere they could hide. Some Hebrews crossed the Jordan to the territory of Gad and Gilead. King Saul was still at Gilgal, and the rest of the people rallied to him in alarm. He waited 7 days, the time that Samuel had set. And when Samuel failed to come to Gilgal, here we're going to get in trouble now. The people began to scatter. King Saul said, bring me the burnt offering and the sacrifice of well. Now, he was totally out of his comfort zone right there. That wasn't his job to do. Okay, you start getting in trouble when you start leaning to your own understanding, doing things you ain't got no business, far as Yah is concerned in his business. And he presented the burnt offering. He had just presented the burnt offering when Samuel, the seer, the prophet, arrived. And King Saul went over to meet him and welcome him. But Samuel said, what have you done? King Saul replied, well, you know, we all got excuses. But excuses is not going to suffice when it comes to Yah and his business and his word. No excuses would suffice suffice when he tell you to do something, how to do it, when to do it, and how long to do it. I saw the people leaving me, scattering. You had not come at the appointed time. And the Philistines had gathered at mismatch. I thought, leaning to his own understanding, the Philistines would march down against me at Gilgal before I had entreated the Elohim. So I forced myself. Always got excuses, some of us. I forced myself to present the burnt offering. Samuel answered King Saul, and this should apply to a lot of us today, Katria. You act foolishly and not keeping the commandments that Yah, your Elohim, laid upon you. He gave you instructions what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And yet you say you force yourself to do something that you had no business doing. Otherwise, the Elohim would have established your dynasty over Israel forever. See, if you had only did what Yah told you to do, how he told you to do it, when he told you to do it, your dynasty would have been established over Israel forever. But nevertheless, you say you forced yourself to do something you had no business doing. But now, your dynasty would not endure. The Elohim would seek out a man after his own heart, and certainly we should be like that. And if you ain't got a heart like that, you need to pray for one like that. We always suggest that at the end of these study sessions. And Yah will appoint him ruler over his people. Because why? Because you did not abide by what Yah had commanded you. He didn't ask you. He commanded you. Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal of Benjamin, the land of Benjamin. King Saul numbered the troops who remained with him about 600 strong. Saul and his son Jonathan and the troops who remained with them stayed in Geba of Benjamin, the Benjamites' lands, while the Philistines were encamped at Mismas. The raiders came out of the Philistines' camp in three columns. One column headed for the Ophrah road that leads to the district of Shuah. Another column headed for Beth Haran road. And third column headed for the border road that overlooked the valley of Shibim toward the desert. No smith, iron, metal, craft, smith was to be found in the land of Israel for producing weaponry. For the Philistines were afraid the Hebrews would make swords or spears. So all the Israelites had to go down to the Philistines to have their plowshares, their mattocks, their axes and coulters sharpened. They didn't have weapons of war. The charge for sharpening was a pim for plowshares, mattocks, three spong forks and axes, and for setting the guards. Thus, on the day of the battle, no sword or spear was to be found in possession of any of the troops which King Saul and Jonathan. Only King Saul and Jonathan had them. Now the Philistines' garrison had marched out to the pass of Mismas. My dear brother and friend, what is your commentary? You know, I gave ongoing commentary as I was reading. What is your commentary?
Well, a lot of times we start a story or a chapter, mm-hmm. and it tells you the end of the story before it goes into the details. So the details are revealed in the next chapter about the battle that Jonathan had with the Philistine that mm-hmm. King Saul tried to take credit for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we see that he is still not leaning on Yah, but he's leaning on his own understanding. Mm-hmm. And when he does that, he makes mistakes. And this time he made a big mistake because he's a king. He's not a priest. So the fact that the people that were with him left, right, because they were scared.
Right.
The fact that Samuel hadn't gotten there on the seventh day as of yet, and that the Philistines had 6,000 horsemen and how many chariots? He was really afraid.
Right.
So he made his first offering himself, which he was not supposed to do because he's not a priest. He was supposed to wait for Samuel to do it, to give him instructions on what to do. But he said he forced himself to do it. Why did he force himself? Because he was fearful.
Right.
So he shouldn't have had that fear. If you're king of Israel, you're not supposed to have that fear because you're responsible for the whole nation. And his alliance is strange. So it came from Yah, but he's trying to get credit for a battle he didn't fight. And he's stumbling and fumbling because he's not really getting counsel from the Most High or from his prophet Samuel, who's right there. All you got to do is go to the prophet Samuel and get the word that Yah, which he did because Samuel told him what to do, but he didn't follow instructions. And therein lies the problem.
Right.
So we hear the solution, but we don't want to apply it. So he didn't want to apply the solution because he could have beat the Philistines had he waited.
Exactly. If he had much more confidence and trust in Yah, just wait. Sometimes we're in a hurry to do things, Kaitreel. And and being in a hurry, and just like I told you about the situation in Minnesota, sometimes we're in a hurry to do things, and those things are just not good for us. And just because it feels good doesn't make it good, Kaitreel. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Philistines had the Israelites locked down to the degree they was hiding in rocks and caves and in the forest and everywhere. And the ones that weren't hiding, they didn't allow them to have knives or swords or spears. The only thing they could, you know, sharpen were their farm tools. And I'm sure that they used these farm tools when they were fighting these Philistines, the axe, the mattock, the cutler. And that's all they had in their hand. Only the king and his son were able to carry swords and whatever weapons that they got from previous battles.
Right.
So we also see that the prophet Samuel stayed in the same place that the king's son was staying. And what was it? Gibeah?
I think he's talking about where the king and Jonathan was.
The prophet Jonathan is staying in Gibeah with his 1,000 men. Gibeah. And the prophet Samuel is staying in Gibeah as well.
Oh,
King Saul was with 2,000 men. And we're going to see what happened to his 2,000 men in the next chapter.
Okay. All right. Kaja, I wanted to ask you something. And you didn't make a comment on it before we continue on in the studies. What did you make Brother Floyd's ex-girlfriend, what'd you make of her?
I didn't really see her testimony.
Right.
But she swore to be truthful, and that's what she did.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I saw clips of what she said. She was describing how they were in the car. He's asleep. She's trying to wake him up. And she explained how the cop came to the window with the gun, and all of a sudden now he's alert.
Right.
He had his hands on the steering wheel and telling the cop not to shoot him.
Right.
But to me, that's really, her testimony is irrelevant to what the police officer did for the 9 minutes and 29 seconds that he had his whole body pressed on the brother in a prone position on his body and on his neck, and the brother was pleading for the ability just to breathe.
Exactly. You're so correct, Kaitreel. All right, Kaitreel, fellow students, let's continue on. Thank you, Kaitreel. Chapter 14. One day, Jonathan, son of King Saul, said to the attendant who carried his arm, "Come, let us cross over to the Philistines' garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father, the king. Now, King Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibbeth under the pomegranate tree of Migron. And it's with him, he was sunning under the pomegranate tree. And his troop numbered 600.
For the
2,000. Like they got ghosts, Kaitreel.
Yeah.
one of them caves or cisterns or whatever, and thickets in the caves or whatnot. Ahaja, son of Ahitub, brother of Ichabod, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Elohim at Shiloh was there, bearing an ephah. The Jews did not know that Jonathan had gone at the crossing, by which Jonathan sought to reach the Philistines' garrison. There was a rocky crag on one side and another rocky crag on the other. He climbed up rocky crags, the one called Bozaz and the other Sinneh. One crag was located on the north near Mismah, and the other on the south near Gebbah. He climbed up a rocky crag. I mean, this young fellow had some balls. I didn't mean to say it. I didn't mean to say it like that. Let me find another word. This young fellow had gihonis. Okay, same thing. Jonathan said to the attendant who carried his arms, "Come, let us cross over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. I ain't scared. I ain't never scared. Perhaps that's not what he said, but you can infer by his bravery that Jonathan, he barred none. Perhaps Yah, because why? Jonathan, in a way, acted closer to Yah than his father, the king. And he says to himself, perhaps the Elohim will act on our behalf. For nothing prevents Yah from winning a victory by many or by few." Y'all didn't hear that. Let me repeat it. See, a lot of y'all seem to think y'all need y'all. Y'all don't need nobody. And young Jonathan knew this. And he placed his trust in what he knew about Yah. Unfortunately, some of us don't seem to know that, Cottrell. And he says, "Come, let us cross over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Elohim will act in our behalf. For nada, prince, the Elohim from winning a victory by many or by few." His arm bearer answered him, "Do whatever you like. You go first." I think that arm bearer had a little trepidation about that. But he said, okay, Jonathan, but you go first. I'm with you, though. Whatever you decide. Jonathan said, "We'll cross over to those men and let them see us. If they set us, wait until we get you. And then we'll stay where we are and not go up to them. I got a plan. What if they said, come on up here, come up to us. Then we will go up for Yah. I got the answer from Yah. For Yah is delivering them into our hands." Two men. I mean, him as his attendant. "There shall be our sign from Yah." They both showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. And the Philistines said, "Look, some Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have been hiding." Cold-blooded. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his arm bearer, "Come on up to us. We'll teach you a lesson." Then Jonathan said to his arm bearer, "Follow me, for Yah will deliver them into the hands of Israel." Jonathan clambered up on his hands and his feet, his arm bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, his arm bearer finished him off behind him. Whoever Jonathan was knocking down, the arm bearer was knocking him out right behind him. The initial attack that Jonathan and his arm bearer made accounted for 20 men within the space of half a pharaoh long and an acre of land, and for all intents and purposes, in short quarter. Terror broke out among the troops, both in the camp and in the field. And the outposts and the raiders were also terrified. The very earthquake and terror from Yah ensured it that it happened. A psychological effect. And Yah ensured that it happened. Saul's scouts in Geba, King Saul's scouts in Geba of Benjamin, saw that he had scouts posted out. And they saw that the multitude was scattered in all directions. Whoa, what's going on? And King Saul said to the troops with him, take count and see who has left us. They took count and found that Jonathan and his arm bearer were missing. Thereupon King Saul said to Ahijah, bring the Ark of the Covenant here. For the Ark of the Covenant was at the time among the Israelites. But while King Saul was speaking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp kept increasing. The psychological terror in effect of Yah. And King Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. King Saul and the troops with him assembled and rushed into battle. They found the Philistines in great confusion. Every man's sword turned against his brother, his fellow. And the Hebrews who had previously sided with the Philistines. Now, you had some Hebrews in the camps of the Philistines, siding with them. That ain't nothing new to us. Who had come up with them in the army from round about. They too joined the Israelites who were with King Saul and Jonathan. When all the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were fleeing, they too pursued them into battle. Thus Yah brought victory to Israel that day. Fighting passed beyond Bethaven. The men of Israel were distressed that day. For King Saul had laid an oath upon the troops. Cursed be the man who eats any food before night falls. And I will take revenge on my enemies. So none of the troops were ate any day. Everybody came to a stack of beehives where some honey had spilled on the ground. When the troops came to the beehives and found the flow of honey there, no one put his hand to his mouth to eat of it, for the troops feared the oath of King Saul. Jonathan, however, had not heard his father adjure the troops. So he poured out the stick he had with him, dipped it in the beehive of honey, brought his hand back to his mouth, and his eyes lit up. At this one of the soldiers spoke up. Your father endured the truth. Cursed be the man who eats anything this day. And so the troops are faint. Jonathan answered, my father has brought trouble on the people. See for yourselves how my eyes lit up. Man, that was lips smacking good when I tasted a bit of honey. If only the troops had eaten today of spoil captured from the enemies, the defeat of the Philistines would have been greater still. Man, y'all are thinking, daddy ain't you no common sense at all. If y'all had been able to eat, we'd have done even more damage. And they struck down the Philistines that day from Mishmash to Ajalon, and the troops were famished. The troops pounced on the spoil. They took the sheep, cows, and calves and slaughtered them on the ground. And the troops ate with the blood. Now, you know, we ain't supposed to eat with no blood, but they were famished. No excuse. But if King Saul had to put that oath on them like that, unnecessarily, and for what reason, then this wouldn't have happened. When it was reported to King Saul that the troops were sinning against Yah, eating with blood, he said, you've acted faithlessly. Roll a stone over to me today. And King Saul ordered, spread out the troops and tell them that everyone must bring me his ox, his sheep, and slaughter it here. And then eat. You must not sin against Yah and eat with the blood. Every one of the troops brought his own ox with him that night and slaughtered it there. The Saul set up the altar to Yah. It was the first altar to be erected to Yah. King Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder among them until the light of the morning all night long. And let us not leave a single survivor among them. Do whatever you please, they replied. But the priest said, wait just a minute, not too quick now. Let us approach Yah here Let us seek his counsel. So King Saul inquired of Yah, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hands of Israel? But because of what Yah said, he did not respond to him. Then King Saul said, come forward, all prince officers of the troops. Find out how this gift was incurred. He won't put it on somebody else. He want to blame somebody else for his own shortcomings. And he said, find out how this gift was incurred today. For as Yah lives, who brings victory to Israel, even if it was through my son Jonathan, even if it was Jonathan, he shall be put to death. Not one soldier answered him, because they knew what happened. And he said to all the Israelites, you stand on one side, and my son Jonathan and I shall stand on the other. The troops said to King Saul, do as you please. King Saul said to the Elohim, Yah, the Elohim of Israel, Shothamin. Whatever that meant, Shothamin, reveal that person to us. Jonathan?
They were casting lots.
Yeah, okay, good, Contrail. Thank you, brother. Shothamin. Casting lot, as Contrail said. Good point, Contrail. Jonathan and King Saul was indicated by lot. Both of them. Not only what Jonathan did, what King Saul had did. And his truths were clear. And King Saul cast lots between my son and me. And Jonathan was indicated by the curse that came out of King Saul's mouth. King Saul said to Jonathan, tell me, what have you done? Jonathan told him, I only tasted a bit of honey with the tip of the stick in my mouth. I'm ready to die. I'm hungry, Daddy. King Saul said, thus and more may Yah do. You shall be put to death, Jonathan. But the truth said to King Saul, shall Jonathan die after bringing his great victory to Israel? Never. As Yah live, not a hair of his head shall fall to the ground. For he brought this day to pass with the help of Yah. Not you, King Saul. Thus the truth saved Jonathan, and he did not die. King Saul broke off his pursuit of the Philistines, and the Philistines returned to their homes. After King Saul had secured his kingship over Israel, he waged war on every side against his enemies, against his cousins, the Moabites and the Ammonites, against his brothers, the Edomites, the Philistines, the kings of Zobah. Wherever he turned, he worsted them. He got the best of them. He was triumphant, defeated the Amalekites, and saved Israel from those who plundered it. King Saul's sons were Jonathan, Asbith, Matshishua. The names of his two daughters were Merah and the older Machal. That's the one King Dawud was married, the younger. The name of King Saul's wife was Ahinoam, daughter of Ahiab, Maas. The name of his army commander, Abner, the son of Saul's uncle, Ner, Kish, King Saul's father, and Ner, Abner's father, was son of Abiel. There was bitter war against the Philistines all the days of King Saul. And whenever King Saul noticed any stalwart man or warrior, he would take him into his service. If he saw someone looking like they could put up a fight, you go into the service. And we were warned against that, and it certainly happened. But see, if y'all fail to realize in the first beginning of this chapter, I think the previous chapter before that, His dynasty was taken away from him. Even though it took a bit of time, as we will see in our studies, and Yah really wasn't hearing nothing he was talking about after that. But nevertheless, Yah took care of Israel. But when King Saul made that presumptuous act about the burnt offerings and the offering of well-being, that solidified that as far as his dynasty was concerned. And he would give it to another man, which he did, as we'll find on out in our studies. And to make matters worse, you know, Jonathan didn't hear about that oath, that curse he had placed upon the troops. And you see how King Saul was willing to sacrifice his own son without any question for speaking rashly. And really, he shouldn't impose that upon the whole troops. That was selfish and self-centered for the king to impose that upon the men. And the men, and they would have got a complete victory, a better victory. These men were famished. They were working all day with all kind of weaponry. You know, harsh part weaponry, which were not fit for to use in wars. And I'm pretty sure they picked up some along the way during the battles and the dispatching of the Philistines. But nevertheless, to impose that upon fighting men, an army lives by its belly. Any army lives by its belly. Any king worth his salt knows that an army lives by its belly. But unfortunately, King Saul either didn't know it or either didn't care. One way or the other, you know, it worked against the troops for us a complete victory and almost got his son dispatched by his own father, King Saul. Cartier, my brother and friend, what say you?
Oh, he broke it down pretty well. He left me the bones to pick.
No, Cartier, you know, you leave me some bones. So come on now, stop playing.
But the fact that the real truth came out as to where the victory came from, it came from Jonathan, King Saul's son.
Exactly.
And it seemed like he was a bit envious of his son, which is why he took the measures that he did. Now he's going to act like he's the commander in chief. He's going to run and tell the priest, go get the ark. It's too late for that. The battle was already in motion.
Right.
Go get the ark. It's too late. Mosiah is with your son. And while he's in the midst of them getting the Ark of the Covenant, they hear the battle. I mean, the Philistines running more. So he stops them from bringing the Ark and praying. And then he gets himself together and goes to help his son in this battle that he's fighting against the Philistines.
Right.
But for him to put an edict out in the midst of a war to fast, you could see that he was off because he was trying to claim victory for himself.
Exactly.
That any man eats, you know, before I get my victory. It wasn't your victory.
Right. And that was
first
cold.
Of all, it's the most high victory, if anything, because you're vastly outnumbered, right? You only got 600 troops against how many horsemen they had? 6,000 horsemen alone. Not to talk about the thousands of foot troops that the Philistines had and the chariots that they had. But you didn't have the strength and the courage that your son had, because Jonathan, he's running with holy boldness. He knows the judges' story. He knows about Shimshon. He knows about Gideon. He knows about Deborah. He knows about all the judges that stood up to these same people prior to this time that he's living in. And he got the same spirit that Gideon got, that Samson got, that all these judges had when they faced the enemy. But his father don't have it. So King Saul is sitting in a pomegranate tree while Jonathan is taking his armor bearer to attack the Philistines by himself. He said, the Most High don't need to save the nation by a lot of people. He can save it by a few. And he went and proved the Most High because he didn't really go out on his own. All along the way, Jonathan is asking Yah for directions, and Yah is directing his steps. So it's the same pattern that his father should have took. And his father had that pattern, but he just didn't listen. He was too impatient, and he was fearful.
Right.
So, after this victory that Jonathan got, he became emboldened. And I'm speaking about King Saul.
Right.
The people saved Jonathan because the king had made an oath, and you can't go back on an oath. It's like we've seen with the judge Jephthah. He told the Most High, you give me the victory, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out my house. So, knowing our history, we should know not to be rash out of our mouths when we say things and make oaths.
Cartrell, why would you make the oath on somebody else? Why would you put that on somebody else? Without asking them.
You put it on the whole army.
Right. Why would you put that oath on me? Said a suit. Yes, your highness. I'm gonna put an oath on me. I said, okay, all right. You wanna go along with? No, your highness. I'm fighting. I got to eat. I run across them. I'm gonna eat. That'll work for you, but don't put that on me. Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you, your highness.
Let me give you a scenario.
Right.
You got sons, right?
Right.
It's just a scenario.
Right.
All of a sudden now, you the king of a nation.
Right.
Out of some miraculous quirk of fate, all of a sudden now, you the king of a whole nation, right?
Okay, right.
And you got a son.
Right.
You the king, but your son is going out to battle for the nation and getting victory. How would you feel?
I would feel all ways about it. You know, Cole, that's y'all victory, Cartrell.
That's how King Saul should have felt.
Right.
Right? And he should have added on to what his son was doing. And the whole nation would have gave y'all the glory because they were outnumbered. Right. They were out armored. They couldn't match the 6,000 horses or the chariots or the number of men that the Philistine was sending. They were outnumbered. And they were not prepared to fight these people at all.
Well, we call it
the fact that the Most High sent two men, my son and his armor bearer, and they vexed the Philistines like that. It should have emboldened him. It should have made him repent from what he did before and made him think about what he was doing from this point on. But it didn't make him do that because his ego got in the way. He didn't want his son to get credit for the victory, so he put that edict out. I don't know if he knew his son would have heard it or not, because his son he knew wasn't in the camp, right?
Right.
He knew his son wasn't in the camp, because the only two people who were missing was his son and the armor bearer, right? Because suffice to say, King Saul is on a path. Once that word was pronounced on him, he's definitely walking the wrong path now.
Yeah, he is, Cartrell. I mean, he could have been a great king. If he was not presumptuous, if he didn't lean to his own understanding, if he gave Yah the glory, if he loved his men and took care of his men like he should have took care of his men, being out man and outgunned, and you knew these guys had to fight several times as hard as the average man. And you put that edict on them, you put that curse on them, man. Come on now, King. Come on now.
It showed you, it backfired on him because his son is really next in line for the kingdom.
Right.
So you put that curse on your son, which means your kingdom is taken away because your heir is the next one that becomes king. So he put a curse on his own son. But suffice to say, I would say that he could have been a greater king because he was a great king.
Right.
If you look at the number of battles he fought and the victories that he won, he was a great king. But he just was off. He didn't follow the directions of Yah. He could have been a greater king, but he had his flaws. He didn't ask for the job, but he messed up while he was doing it.
There's lessons to be learned here for everybody. Everybody and anybody. If you want to learn some lessons here. Number one, do not have any fear or trepidations. Number two, lean on God.
Fear, trepidation, no matter what the odds. No matter what the odds. It could seem impossible, but that didn't stop Jonathan and his armor bearer, did it?
Oh. Right. Number two, lean on Yah. Trust in Yah. Seek Yah's counsel. And number three,
that could be number one.
Right. Okay, that's your
let's say they can be interchangeable. Most important, they can be number one, as Cottrell said. It can go interchangeably. But if we had to put it in numerical order, that would be number one. And third, do not be presumptuous. Do not lean to your own understanding. And be humble. Okay? And give Yah and give all praises and glory to Yah.
Sorry to let you know why police officers in America have such a great fear of Israelite men.
Right. Yeah, because if Yah with them, can't nobody stop them.
An army couldn't stop Jonathan and his armor bearer. Two men against an army? Who does that? Yeah, we could take the story for granted, but no. No.
Well, not only us,
but they feared our relationship with Yah, because it wasn't just Jonathan, his armor bearer. It was Jonathan, his armor bearer, fighting behind the Most High, because we can't cause earthquakes, can we? And if you feel the earthquake, I don't care how bad you think you are, that's going to put some fear in your heart. You're going to be looking for, like, where's the stable ground? You ain't even thinking about fighting nobody.
But it didn't bother Jonathan and his armor bearer.
Oh, no. Ain't that amazing? In the midst of an earthquake, it didn't shake them up.
They kept on fighting.
Oh, yeah, knocking people out. But Jonathan was knocking them out, and the armor bearer was taking the heads off.
he was dispatching them.
Yeah.
They were like a tag team, country.
You ever seen Jet Li in that movie, Tai Chi Master?
I don't think I'm not sure, Kadri. I'm not sure.
You got to check that movie out. Because that'll give you the flavor of what they was dealing with. The Philistines were some bad actors, man.
Right.
You see with Shimshon, how Shimshon was dealing with them, right?
They wouldn't know.
Oh, no. And they vexed Israel for a long time. King David, I didn't want to get ahead of the story, puts all that to rest. But we're going to find out what happened subsequently to these chapters right here. But we got to know that these Philistines, who are related to the Egyptians because they come from Mizraim, who comes from Ham, they were some bad actors, baby.
It was some bad dudes.
I think the Watusi are related to the Philistines, man. They're some of the tallest people.
Watusis. Let me look them up right quick while you get set up for the last study. Watusi. Let me look at them, brother. Because they have that headdress like them, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
The Watusis.
You don't have a WhatsApp account for the Red Cross.
You know, I'm sick of this. Tell me what I got. What is the Watusi tribe? Okay. Man, it's a Washushi Mountain State. You know, whatever your name is. The Watusi tribe in Africa, dumb thing.
Hey, don't treat Alexa like that, man.
She ain't got no sense. Hey, no reflection on women, okay?
Okay.
Watusi tribe. This thing, man. This ain't Watusi.
Titus, the Watusi tribe in East Africa.
This heifer pick you up and then pick me up. Cottrell, I'm sick of this heifer. I mean, you're a cheating phone, too.
It sounds like you got a personal thing going on, man.
We got something going on. This phone got something going on me. You talking on the radio, Cottrell, and this heifer pick up the thing. I asked her a question. She don't pick up nothing what I'm saying. I see them, Cottrell. I see them. It's just like the Philistine headbands. Just like.
And they tall, ain't they?
Yeah, they ain't nothing to play with. You had to bring the metal to the pedal with them cats. You hear them, Cottrell?
No question. We talking about thousands of them, horsemen, and they had chariots. And you just see them like they are now, but imagine them like the Egyptian army or the Egyptian, the Philistines and the Egyptians used to battle. Major
right.
war. The sea people and the Egyptians.
Yeah, they ain't nothing night, brother. The man, they came in a battle like that, bro.
Well, the Philistines had metallurgy, so they had body armor,
right?
Shields, and you see that they didn't allow us to make swords or knives or spears. They kept us on lock with that. They had the ability to do it because they had the blacksmiths, and we had to
right.
go to them to sharpen our farming tool.
Oh. Man, you know what? They got their headdress of like the headdress. Yeah, the Philistines, yeah.
What color is it? I bet you it's red.
Some of them got white, some of them got red.
Okay.
The headband is, I believe, red. And,
mm-hmm.
and the thing is, that they have on it, that's white.
Okay. And look at the ancient Philistine.
Same way.
Okay.
Also, when they came out to fight us, we had to put up a fight, man.
They was like Shaka Zulu in them. The Philistines.
Yeah.
You know, Shaka Zulu in them wasn't no joke.
And you know what, Katja, I'm looking at them. They dance just like they ancient dance.
Say what?
They dance, they ancient dance.
Oh, yeah. They do that jump. They jump real high.
They ain't nothing nice, Godzilla. They what?
You know, they got to jump over a cow.
Do
when they go into, like, manhood, they got to leap over a cow.
Oh. So when they came, I'm thinking about us going into battle with them. Yeah, bro, we had to bring it on. These cats ain't nothing nice, goddamn. Yeah, these jokers jumping up like they on dope or something. No, we had to bring it on, man.
Match that energy.
Yeah, because they had plenty of energy now. All right, Cartrell, if you're ready for the final segment of the study session tonight, we're all ready.
Well, we all need some wisdom. We all need some wisdom.
No, I'm taking my phone to divorce. I'm going to divorce my phone, Katja. She listened to another man. I got a divorce.
Oh, man.
Yeah, with a beat. She going to listen to another man's bounce and don't hear her daddy talking to her? You on the radio show, Katja. And you said, why Tootsie tried? And she said, here to your daddy. Okay, all right. she get, hey, Katja, matter of fact, she didn't even say nothing. She just brought it up. Why Tootsie tried, daddy? But me, Y2KZ, Washu Mountain, I ain't asked you nothing, man.
You have to know how to talk to the ladies out.
Oh, okay. Said talk a little soft to them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You got to tone it down a little bit, man. Can't be calling that nothing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I like that.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, gotcha. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, the Almighty Creator, who has even given us King Solomon's wisdom to reflect upon. To even gain control of our spirit. Obviously, King Saul didn't have that self-control or spiritual power that he really needed to be a king. So you see King Solomon, he tried to do better, but he too failed to corral his spirit. But he gave us the formula in order to do it. So in Proverbs 28th chapter, We learn about righteousness and wickedness and what happens when you choose one path or the other. You're going to either choose the wicked life or you're going to choose the path of righteousness. And the path of righteousness is not easy in a wicked world. So you have to be fortified. You have to have that holy boldness like Prince Jonathan, son of King Saul. Proverbs 28. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Wow, what synchronicity. Who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Jonathan and his armor bearer? I think so.
Which one?
What do you say?
Who you saying, Katrina?
Abiyah is telling me I should be in the 29th chapter.
29, Katrina, 29. Thank you, Abiyah. I didn't even have to ask Abiyah. See, Abiyah is better than his phone. I didn't have to ask her nothing. See?
Once I hear that chime, I know I'm off.
Yeah. Abby, I'm better than his phone, Cottrell. I didn't even have to ask nothing. You see what I'm saying? She's better than this dude. Okay?
Way
thank
better.
You. May the Most High bless you.
She's a living, beautiful being. She ain't no robot.
Now, don't tell her that, Cottrell, because, you know, her head big anyway. Don't tell her that.
Nah. Abby, I was on the right path, man.
Y'all been playing, Abby. I don't want no trouble. I'm just playing.
Alright. He, in the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's what happened to us, right? We all had a stiff neck. Our ancient fathers didn't listen. Our kings didn't listen. The people didn't listen. And guess what? The Most High destroyed us to the point we don't even know where we are now. We still in when a boxer punch you upside your head and knocks you out, you see stars. That's where we are right now, as a people. We've been punched upside our head. We don't know where we are. We don't even know what date it is.
Exactly.
That's what they ask a boxer, right? What's today's date? I don't know. Got head upside the head. It says the righteous are in authority. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. And how long have we been singing the blues? We have no righteous rulers over us as of yet. Still singing the blues in another way.
Exactly.
Whoso loveth wisdom rejoices his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So you'd rather see your son make something of himself, of his life, to contribute back to the community, rather than have a son who want to be a pimp. And a lot of young brothers, they want to keep company with Holly.
Player. You want to be a pimp? That's a good one, Kadri.
Yeah, brothers got books on pimping. Crazy. They should have books on wisdom like King Solomon. It said the king by judgment established the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. So we know that King Saul's judgment is way off, and his establishment of the land is going to be rocky because he's not following good judgment. And he'll probably receive gifts and bribes as we read the story. We'll find out if he's a righteous king or an unstable king. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Yeah, so you hear somebody pumping you up and patting you on the back all the time and bigging you up. They setting you up for a fall.
Exactly.
Like bigging me up. Like, what's the deal? Like, what are you trying to get out of me? Something. Ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
The transgression of an evil man is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. You know why the righteous sing and rejoice? Because they ain't laying no snares for anybody, no traps or pitfalls.
Amen. Amen, brother.
They ain't got to worry about falling in one, because if they do, the Most High is going to bring them out because they walk that righteous path. But if you sinning and you transgressing, you trying to set people up, trying to trap people, you trying to, what they call it now, scam people.
Scheme.
Yeah.
Scam.
A lot. Yep. Take advantage. Are you going to fall into your own trap?
Truth be told, you better tell them.
Yeah. I witnessed it, you know, young brothers growing up, you know, in Harlem, in the streets, and they want to take that street life. You want to sell drugs to your people. Even though you see it's destroying them, you still want to sell drugs. And what happens, wind up happening to you? You wind up getting shot, you wind up on drugs yourself, or you wind up in jail.
Are you trying to play sisters?
Huh?
Are you trying to play sisters or brothers out there? You wind up getting played.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So, and sometimes it comes real swift. Because most of the brothers I grew up with that chose that life, they didn't grow past 25, 30. I'm talking about young teenage brothers selling drugs.
Exactly.
My peers, they didn't make it past 25, 30. Here I am, 65. I didn't think I was going to make it to 30. But I ain't choose that life, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. So we need wisdom to bring peace wherever we live. And men that don't want to follow Yah's way, it always hurts the people. Call it a snare. People are in the snare. They can't figure out how to get out of the snare because we're not following Yah's word. We're following scornful men. We think their lifestyle is what it should be. If a wise man contend with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. So you can't really reach people that are foolish.
You know what I'm
you
saying?
Talk to
no, there ain't no reason in them, Cadre.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to reason, try to give them wisdom, but they really want to be involved in their foolishness.
Truth be told. Amen, brother.
And a wise man ain't got time for fools, because wise man's chasing wisdom. We ain't got no time for no foolishness.
No. With no fool, we ain't.
No. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. So, in other words, police officers shooting young brothers unarmed in the street, you're bloodthirsty and you hate us because of who we are. And
right.
We are supposed to be that upright people.
Right.
We ain't really doing nothing that really threatens y'all that, you know, take what y'all got. But y'all still choose to shoot our brothers and entrap our brothers and snare our brothers. But these same words of wisdom, y'all setting the snares, your transgressions, is going to catch y'all up. The chapter
and,
set is going to backfire on you.
And let us not miss those that among us, too, that hurt us, too.
Oh, yeah. This is home.
Right.
This is for charity begins at home. So we're trying to reach our people first. So you won't walk past the foolishness and wickedness and the path that y'all despise and abhors. But a message to the outside community, because if you're transgressing, this applies to you as well. There's only two paths for mankind to walk on the earth, good or evil. If you setting traps for Yah's people, and we falling into them, those traps you set are going to backfire on you. It's a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. So, yeah. You could tell a fool when they just keep rambling and talking and not really listening or looking for the counsel of a wise person.
No.
But the wise person's on, he ain't going to try to interrupt them. He's just going to keep listening because he know they're not going to receive the wisdom because they keep talking. You're not hearing me. And what I say goes in one ear and out the other because you're still talking. It says, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Yeah. How's a ruler going to listen to lies? We know that's what, you know, United States government is about.
Right.
They speak with a forked tongue. All their politicians are liars. Yep,
exactly.
Every 4 years, 2 years, they come around and they promise you this. Promises, 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 promises. Year in and year out, decade in and decade out, and nothing ever changes, does it? Or it gets progressively worse. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. Yah lighteneth both their eyes. So, Mosiah, sees everything, knows everything, and he's going to reveal the seafood man and the poor man. And the poor man is not necessarily going to be deceitful. You might think that a poor man is deceitful if he asks you for favors or help. But a deceitful man is somebody that's trying to get over on you. So Yah is going to shine a light on who's really poor and who's really deceitful, because Yah wants you to look out for the poor.
Exactly. Amen.
The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. So a ruler always has to look out for the poor of their people, don't they?
Amen.
You know why? Because if you do, it says your throne will be established forever. You can't just be looking out for your crew, the people around you, and you making them wealthy like Donald Trump did. Cut taxes for the corporate and the rich people that got money already. And the poor people are still suffering. So we know America's not going to be established forever because they don't have this protocol. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. So we know we don't get real judgment, true judgment, or true justice here in this country. And America's on trial right now with what's going on in Minnesota, right?
You can see it live.
Live Minnesota.
Live and televised.
Yeah. The rod and reproof give wisdom. So wisdom is not an easy path. You might get the rod in order to get wisdom. You might wonder why at the moment, but that rod might prevent you and help you keep your life. So I couldn't understand why my mom was beating me because I was hanging out, you know, late at night and doing the things I was doing. And she had the rod waiting for me when I walked in the door because I broke curfew.
Y'all loves us. And so if he loves you, he going to chastise. It's just that on that.
Oh, yeah. And peer pressure can be heavy. But that rod that my mom put on my back was heavier than that peer pressure. Believe me. It says, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So you cannot leave a child to himself, to his own devices. Stop leaving your children on those computers and those iPads and watching TV, because you're not instilling values in them by doing that, right? Most people let the TV babysit for their children these days, right? They're not teaching the children skills, the skills of life that they need, or the basics of life that they need. They leave children to themselves, and the media creeps in, whether it's on the iPad, a computer, cell phone, or the TV. They're invading the minds of your children. What does it say? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame because he has no direction. And who's supposed to really instill these things? It doesn't say the father, but it does bring the father to shame. But the mother's the one who instills the first principles into these children.
Right.
When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. So it doesn't matter how much evil is in the earth. If you're righteous and walk on the righteous path, you're going to watch them fall, no matter how big they get, no matter how wicked they get, right?
Exactly.
Lot watched it. Lot watched Sodom and Gomorrah get real wicked. How wicked was Sodom and Gomorrah? They wanted to sleep with the angels. The
right.
Angels blocked them. The angels blinded them. They were so wicked, they were blind and still trying to get to the door.
So exactly.
That day they fell. Time period, they fell. And Lot watched it. Why did Lot watch it? He didn't really watch it because he asked him not to turn around, but he knew behind him it was being destroyed. Lot survived it because he was a righteous man.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how big the wickedness gets or how terrifying it may look, it's going to fall, and you're going to see it if you're righteous. I'm going to read that again. When the wicked are multiplied, which they are today, we see all kind of gang banging and cartels and corruption all the way up to the presidency. And the president, he could blow the planet up 300 times with his nuclear bombs. So he's more dangerous than the cartels that, well, anyway, wicked is multiplied. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Transgression increases. That's why there's so much blood. You almost have a shootout or a mass shooting almost every day since the year started.
Exactly.
But the righteous shall see their fall. Whose fall? The wicked that multiply and increase. We're going to see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, He shall give the light unto thy soul. So don't be afraid to correct your children. Put them on the right path. They may not like it. They may not understand it, but they'll appreciate it, just like I did. I couldn't wait to get away from Sergeant Mom. Sergeant Mom broke out when I was 17. But she put correction in me. And I'm sure she's resting because she did what she did for me and the rest of her children, my brothers and sisters. She ain't just do it to me. She was a Sergeant Mom to all of us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So you don't have a vision, you're stuck where you at, you know. And if you have a vision, you have to act on your vision. And if you have a dream, you have to pursue it. If you have a talent, you have to build on it. And our people have no vision because we don't know who we are. We call ourselves Negro, Black, Colored, African-American, Baptist, Christian. What else we call ourselves? Our Muslim. What else we call ourselves? Jamaican, Haitian, Barbadian. We are not calling ourselves who we are. And the fact that we don't even know who we are, we have no vision of our past, our history. And the people that have no vision of their past history, how do you know where you're going? As far as the future is concerned, if you have no vision of your past. And the limited vision of our past, they always give us this Black History Month, and they always stop at Dr. Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks, and our vision doesn't go beyond them. We're perishing because we're still trying to get America to give us equal rights and justice. And in the meantime, we still perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And the law would be Yah's instructions to us. So I got my brother Yirmiyahu calling. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Super. I'm going to add him.
Okay, go ahead.
What's going on, fam?
You in the midst of the Block Talk, Real Talk for Real People show right now. Caught us. We're in the book of Proverbs.
Proverbs.
Yes,
what
sir.
An excellent book.
Hmm?
So what an excellent book.
Yeah, yeah. And we just got finished reading, when there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And what is the law? It's your instructions for us. That's all the law is. It means instructions. So we have to find out what Yah's instructions are, which is why we continue to study every night, seeking what Yah's word is, so we can understand Yah better and get to know him, not just by reading, but by applying what is being said. Right?
Yes, sir.
He says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understands, he will not answer. So you have to sometimes take action as opposed to using words. And that's what Yah did with us, because we are Yah's servants. And he spoke words to us. Did we listen to the words? No, we did not. And we understood the words that he was saying. But Yah had to take action with us in order to correct us, because we did not obey his words. See, thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope for a fool than of him. So we can see with the example of Jephthah, where he made a vow that if Yah gave him the victory, he would sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house. We also see it with King Saul, where he's hasty in everything that he says and does. Matter of fact, tonight we see that he cursed his son, Jonathan, and he was about to kill him. But the people said, nah, we're not going to let you do that. Nah, you really bugging. And Jonathan said his father was bugging, because he put that edict out that they couldn't eat while they're fighting in the midst of a battle. So his pride, his vanity, his ego made him say things that he shouldn't have said. And it had consequences. Your words have consequences. And so I try to remind people all the time, you must watch what you say, especially if your words are hasty, because you can't take them back, can you? Once they're in the ethos, you can't take your words back, right? You can apologize for what you said, but you can't take your words back. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. And we see that example with Eli prophet Samuel, right? Eli's own sons didn't listen to their father, but he delicately brought up his servant Samuel in the right manner. And had his sons followed the directions he was giving Samuel, they would have been great men too. But they chose their own way. They leaned upon their own understanding and gave what they wanted to do. And they got in big trouble for it. It says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So our people are full of anger, and we don't know how to control it, which is why we always in contention with one another and with the world, always angry. And Most High is telling you that's going to get you in trouble. It only stirs up strife when you're angry all the time and furious. And Most High considers that, you know, a transgression. You can't be angry all the time. You got to chill out and really evaluate things. Yeah, there's a time and place for everything. There's a time to be angry. And they call it righteous indignation. But you can't live your life angry. Some people do. I don't know how they do it, but I don't think I could ever do that. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low. And we see that as we read King Saul, because he's full of pride. All of a sudden, now it's all about him. He didn't start out that way. He started out humbly. But the fact that he has all this power and authority now, we see even starting out, the Most High already brought him low because he could have been greater than what he was. It says, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. King Saul should have remained humble his whole life and let Yah run the show. I just got the title king. Yah is running the show, right? That would have been humility. But he, you know, taking presumptuous acts and doing presumptuous things without the consultation of the prophet who gets his counsel from the Most High. And that should have been his bread and butter. To always counsel the prophet Samuel, because Samuel didn't go wrong. Matter of fact, Samuel brought peace to the nation for like over 40, 50 years, and he wasn't a king, but his counsel to King Saul was priceless. Unfortunately, King Saul didn't listen to him. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Whoso is partnered with a thief hates his own soul. You hear it cursing and berateth it not. So you partner with a thief, it means you hate your own soul. And we can take it on a larger scale because the people that stole this country from the people that lived here, the people that stole our labor and made themselves super rich, we still trying to partner with them. And it shows that we hate ourselves. And most of our people hate ourselves. And it's not just hating yourself, it's hating your soul, which we all try to preserve because we want to preserve our soul in order to have an opportunity to be a part of the second part of the revival of Yah's creation because it's in the plan B stage right now. The fear of a man bringeth a snare, but whoso put his trust in Yah shall be safe. And that's the contrast between King Saul and his son, Prince Jonathan. King Saul had fear. He saw the people running. He saw that Prophet Samuel hadn't come quick enough for him. And he saw the Philistines building up their army against where they were posted. He didn't put his trust in Yah. He put his trust in his own understanding. We see that in contrast, his son, Prince Jonathan, trusted Yah. So much so, he didn't need the 1,000 men that were with him. All he needed was his armor bearer. What kind of trust is that to go up against the Philistines like that? That's supreme trust, and we should all have the trust of Prince Jonathan. And I think Prince Jonathan inspired King David, as we'll see along the way, because he had this fearless, holy, bold trust in the Most High. And what does it say? When you put trust in the Most High, you shall be safe. That's all you got to do. Let go and let Yah. And most of our people don't know how to do that, which is why we study what we're studying, so we can learn how to let go and let Yah and put our trust in him and let him fight our battles for us. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from Yah. So you're looking for men to garnish your favor upon you. But in the end, everybody's going to be judged by Yah. All our actions are being recorded, and what we choose is going to be judged by the Most High. It ain't going to be judged by men. We think it's going to be judged by one another, and we try to judge one another. The final outcome is going to be that our souls will be judged by Yah. An unjust man is an abomination to the judge, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. So, yes, when you try to walk the righteous path, which is what we're trying to do, we have problems with wicked people. But contrary to that, when unjust men are in rule, they're an abomination to us. We ain't trying to be a part of them. We ain't trying to be down with them. We ain't trying to get a piece of what they got. We just want the Most High to really eliminate and annihilate unjust and wicked men. And so much injustice is going on in America. America's on trial right now, like I said. And we can see them trying to snake out a way for this cop to get off of murdering our brother George Floyd. And they will use every trick in the book in order to acquit this man. Brace yourself, people, because you're going to see history repeat itself. You may see history repeat itself. But it's no cause to get violent. And the answer to the problem is to turn to the Most High and let Yah fight our battles for us as we turn our way back to Him. So I don't know if there's any commentary or thoughts on what we just read, but that was the last verse. We thank once again the Most High for allowing our King to even put words in the scroll that even help us today.
Hallelujah, brother. Amen. Well, thank you, God, Jerry.
Yes,
Shalom, my brother. May the Most High bless you and your family.
You too, fam. How's everything?
Do you have any commentaries about anything? You want to speak about anything? Anything on your mind? You know, we got a few minutes before we get out of here.
Yeah, gotta keep on pushing. Some are half, some are way. You just gotta keep on pushing.
Truth be told.
Yeah, so,
yes, go ahead, Katriel.
Now he's trying to say.
Yeah, well, he should. He the brother Logan. He's down. You just what you gotta say. You're always picking on me.
I can't sing for nothing. I can't sing, but I got soul.
Look here, y'all. Can't nobody sing. Let Cartrell tell it but him. You know. So why are you, hey, you picking, bro? Let that bro sing. Let the bro blow. He sounds good to me.
I ain't trying to stop him. But I mean, it must be a vibration in the place. Everybody come on, try to sing. All the brothers.
You're wrong for that, Cartrell. You're wrong for that.
Yamiyahu got the heart like Jonathan. He got that holy bow, feelings like a holy bow lion. So I know, you know, it doesn't matter what I say, he ain't going to stop him from doing what he do.
Doesn't stop me.
You right about that.
Yeah, look at Yamiyahu has the wife and the baby.
You doing good. Real good.
How old the baby now?
Mm-hmm.
How old the baby?
One. One. Yeah, okay. It's one.
Okay.
I got another baby on the way too. Another one cooking in the room.
Oh Lord. How many months, bro?
Mm-hmm.
How many months?
It's like 2 months.
Oh, okay.
So your offspring's gonna be born the same time as my grand offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You want another son or a daughter?
I want another son.
I want my daughters
to come later. I want my daughters to come later so they got big brothers.
Okay.
They come
real
towards
talk.
The end.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah, you want them had to go in like, who that went in and took care of them, Katria, them two brothers? Was that the...
What story?
That raped their sister.
Simeon and Levi.
Yeah. he
Tom Shechem.
Yeah, he won't two brother two sons like that. Take care of business.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know, even if they're sisters, even if sisters on the line, as a woman you want an older brother. You don't want to be the oldest. You know what I mean? You want an older brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the world out here. It's rough.
It is. Yeah, sisters need older brothers in order to depend on. I was raised in a big family, so I was one of the older brothers. I made it better for my sisters to go to school, go to work. Word was already out.
Men can't take advantage of them. Men can't whore them out, take advantage of them. You know what I mean?
Don't underestimate the power of a woman, bro.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not saying that, but you know, I never. You want coverage and protection on multiple levels.
Don't underestimate the power of a woman. What happened to the first man? What happened to the strongest man?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the wisest man?
He ain't got to understand about that country. He know what happened to him. He ain't got to understand about that.
I know what happened to him.
Let him sing on that.
I'm talking about I know exactly what happened to him.
Let him sing on that country. Let him hit a note on that.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah, that's real. Don't underestimate the power of a woman, bro.
Oh, I never do. They got different type of powers.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And God's with them just like he's with us.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah, they just got to know it and be connected. Because sometimes they have more power than us with y'all. And get victories that we can't get. Yep.
That's for sure. I learned that.
Yum-yum.
I can't have no babies.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How's the land coming along, brother?
Coming along excellent. Just got three more. I just put up three more houses.
Right.
Just ordered three more houses. Just adding, multiplying. Just ordered a couple greenhouses. Just moving, just constantly moving.
Okay. Are these residencies or different houses for different things? Meat house, greenhouse, what? When you said three houses,
greenhouse, a couple more dwellings. One's going to be a show house. Yeah.
What about your smokehouse? Did you ever build a smokehouse or a meat storage house?
I have four underground root cellars. So
okay.
One of them I'm going to turn into that. Yeah, to make jerky. All that. I have the jerky machines. The meat grinder machines to like grind up beef and sauce making. I got all those different types of machines. So.
You didn't use a Native American to help you out? They ran your farms. They know about deep jerky.
Oh yeah. I got a couple Navajos that I've been employed now for like 2 years.
Well, you know they know about deep jerky. They should know about deep jerky.
Oh yeah. They got their skills to make the Adobe oven.
What about fishing and trout and stuff like that?
I got four ponds. I'm gonna stock them with fish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What? You ain't got no running river there, stream that runs?
No.
Wells.
Yeah, water wells, but not no streams that run.
Oh, you dug those wells?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you know, there's a brother that created a device that could make water out of air?
Yeah.
You heard him?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the precipitation out of the air.
But I think they try to rob him of his patent.
Of course. They try to kill him.
Well, Yim Yahoo, do you know a brother that finna get out of here?
Who?
Yim Su is finna get ready to get out of here.
No.
But look here, I want you to come back anytime, Yim Yahoo. It's good to hear you, brother. Send the wife and children. Send the wife and children our love and respect. And you take care of yourself, okay?
Yes, sir. You too.
Thank you, brother. Andrea, you take care too, my brother. Fellow students,
yes, sir.
Y'all take care now. We love you. Take these steps to heart. It does no good if you got it sitting around. You got to make application of it, apply it in your life, your day-to-day existence, and you'll see some difference in your life. You can't get it out of Congress. You can't get it from your local state senator, which you can't get it from the federal government, but you can get it from the Almighty. As Jonathan said, ain't nothing that the Almighty can't do. It's true. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And thanks for coming, Yim Yahoo. And we love you too, brother.
Yes.
And may the Most High bless you. Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Shalom tomorrow.
Shalom and good night.
A boy born in heart that Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in.